You're listening to the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia.
David, what do we have in store for us this episode?
Well, Max, I think we're going to introduce ourselves, define some terms, since we are talking about a very technical topic. So I think we're going to throw around some jargon that we'll be using in future podcasts. And let's touch base on some recent news about our new favorite subject, which are UAVs.
Very good. That sounds great. So let's get started. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself first?
Okay. I'm David Vanderhoof. I live outside of Philadelphia. If you listen to our other podcast, The Airplane Geeks, most people know that I live within a walking distance of Philadelphia International Airport. I have a degree in military history and diplomacy, focusing on Arab-Israeli and Middle Eastern conflicts and aviation. But I learned about drones reading my father's Air Force magazines. There were always drones in the magazines growing up. I like drones. You know, they were at the time were converting things like F-100s and F-102s, and they had neat orange markings, and they had these things called RPVs, and they had Ryan Firebees. So I've liked drones my whole life. There's something to be said for an airplane that flies by itself. How about you, Max?
Yeah. Again, I'm Max, and I'm a longtime jet engine guy, having had a 35-year career in that business, doing a variety of different things. And like David, I'm also from the Airplane Geeks podcast. And my interest in unmanned vehicles, aerial vehicles, I guess has to do with the fact that I think this is something that we're going to see grow exponentially in aviation. Certainly, we've seen a lot of military unmanned vehicles, and we're familiar with those. But we're kind of just on the start, I think, of something different than that in the commercial arena. So I think this is going to be a very exciting area, something that is going to be great fun to follow along with. And that's what we're hoping that we'll do on this podcast.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot to talk about. I will lay down ground rules that we're not going to try to take the political aspects of this. We might have to touch on it because that's what's involved, but we're not going to take the pro drones or the negative anti drones and what are done with them. But we want to talk about the topic and we want to talk about the technology. And I'm sure that we're going to have lots of guests on, and it'll be a good podcast talking about 21st century technology.
Outstanding. Well, I'm really excited, David. I think this is the start of a great adventure between you and me and our guests to come in the future. So why don't we get started with definitions? There are so many different definitions for unmanned aerial vehicles. You want to help us get through some of these?
Sure. I guess unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, are just that. They are pilotless aircraft. In fact, originally, if you go back into the late 60s, early 70s, they were called RPVs, or remotely pilotly vehicles. Now, everybody knows what a radio control airplane is. These are a little bit larger than radio controlled airplanes, but UAVs could also be as small as little hummingbirds. There's things like DARPA that has put programs together for dragonfly sized. And so we're talking aircraft that have multiple sizes. Now, again, we've used the terms UAV and RPV. Those are the actual aircraft. Then you could talk about UASs or UCASs, which are unmanned aerial systems or unmanned combat air systems, which is talking about the whole package, I guess, Max. It's not only the aircraft, but the radar systems to fly the aircraft, the buildings in which people are sitting in and the consoles they're using. It's the whole system. I guess, Max, you're used to talking about engines and then engine systems, correct?
Sure, yes. And it's kind of analogous here, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where a UAV is one part of a UAS. I mean, the other part would be the trailer that the person sitting in flying the aircraft and the electronics. So, and then we could go on to other things like UAVs have different classifications. Going forward, you'll start hearing us throw around terms like HALE, or male or lale. Pretty much ALE stands for, HAL would be high altitude, long endurance. The biggest example of that would be the Northrop Grumman Global Hawk, which is an aircraft that flies well in airliner streams and is capable of staying aloft for 24 hours. Male would be medium altitude. Those are your predators and reapers. And then there's low altitude, which are the smaller aircraft. And we remember, we do have aircraft in this genre that are man pack size, and also aircraft that are the size of what most people would think of as a remote control airplane. So we have a lot to talk about going forward.
You know, David, you mentioned remote control airplanes, and this is something that's I've had trouble with in my own thinking, is how do you differentiate an RC plane from a UAV, or are they different?
I would say that's a good question, and I too have struggled with this, and hopefully someday we can get an expert on, because when does a radio-controlled airplane become a home-built UAV? Now, some of those things are a lot, things like predators and reapers. There's some autonomy involved where they can make decisions for themselves, or they can be programmed to fly a specific pattern. That's more along the lines of a UAV. A radio-controlled airplane will forever be linked to, it can only be in the range and the frequency of the radio it's connected to. So back in my hobby days, when you had a four-channel radio, which gave you flaps, rudder, ailerons, if the aircraft for some reason flew out of the range of your little box, your radio, the servers would automatically shut off and you would lose control of the aircraft. You lose control of the aircraft, and it's confined to a certain range. UAVs, we have people operating Predators and Reapers in Creech Air Force Base in Nevada, and they're flying them over Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen. So there's a sense of autonomy. You can tell the aircraft that you need to fly this pattern, and they can do that.
Well, I guess maybe the bottom line, David, is that when we talk about unmanned aerial vehicles or systems or whatever, there's a huge spectrum here, both in terms of size and type and power plant and use and all these things. It's really kind of a broad topic in that regard.
Yeah, and one of the terms that we didn't use was the word drone, which, to use big words, is a pejorative anymore. Drone is the buzzword everybody uses to describe the whole multiverse of aircraft types that fall into UAVs and RPVs. There's a lot of people working on UAV technology, and that for aircraft that could be flown through windows up to the Global Hawk, which is the size of a small airliner. So we've got there's a big spectrum here, and we could spend hours on one type of aircraft. So it's going to be interesting. And as we move on to maybe our topic of tonight, it's not just a military world anymore. The UAVs are, like you had said, we're moving into a new where civilians are getting involved. My favorite story over the last couple of weeks on our other show, Airplane Geeks, was there was a organization in China that was flying cakes.
Yeah, that's right.
As a cakes delivery with a quadcopter, which is a helicopter that if you take a square and put rotors on each point, in the center of it was a cake, and that's how they were delivering it. The government put a stop on it because they were afraid someone's going to have a cake fall on them. But it's an example of the way people are thinking out of the box to come up with new ideas about UAVs. And let's face it, we've got some pretty cool UAVs. We've got Curiosity that landed on Mars over a year ago, and that's remotely piloted and autonomous, and it's on another planet. So there's a big spectrum out there.
Yeah, there sure is, David. And as you mentioned, one of the things we want to do on this show is talk about some of the recent news in this space. And we've seen something pretty significant lately, I think, which is that the FAA in the United States has taken some action that's starting to open up some new doors when it comes to commercial application of unmanned vehicles.
Yeah, the FAA approved two different vehicles for civilian use. One of them was the Scan Eagle, which I was fortunate enough to see at the FAA test center down at Atlantic City Airport 2 years ago. They actually had their drone set up that they've been using to integrate with airspace. It's a 44-pound gasoline-powered aircraft built by AeroVironment, and it was issued a civilian license to operate in airspace. Who's going to take advantage of that? Well, we don't know yet, but it's an aircraft that carries a very large camera, and you could probably use it to spot fires and some of the other alternatives.
Yeah, and it's one of the interesting things that we've seen is that the FAA acted pretty quickly on this. The application for commercial use of this Scan Eagle, this went in, I think it was in January, and already the FAA has given approval. So they're moving quickly. But another interesting point, an important point to this, is that you can't just take an unmanned vehicle and start flying it in the civilian airspace. That's regulated by the FAA. Of course, they're concerned about the interaction of unmanned vehicles and commercial airliners and general aviation flights and things like that. So the FAA is kind of in a process of learning, how are we going to allow these things to operate commercially and still be conducted in a safe manner for everyone who's using the airspace. So this is a good step. It's an early step in a process that will probably become much more complicated. There was a second one, David. You mentioned also the AeroVironment Puma, which is, I think, is that a little smaller than the Scan Eagle?
Of course, now, folks, this is where the system takes forever to bring up the news article you desperately are looking for.
Oh, no.
Yes, actually, the Puma is a hand-launched. Scan Eagle actually has a very large catapult that they launch off of, as well as it's recovered, interestingly enough, if you took a baseball net and put it between two posts, that's how you recover it. The Puma is actually kind of a size of a large, I hate to say it, radio-controlled airplane. It's a much smaller aircraft, and it's also battery-operated, so it can be quiet. So if we start seeing law enforcement use it, it would be a good way to, if it was a hostage or standoff or something like that, a quiet battery-operated UAV would be a great way to get a view of the area. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of uses for it. It's just a matter of who's going to get to use it. One of the sidelights, and I think we'll talk about this in future episodes, is a lot of the states have coming up with, I don't want to say, laws on who can operate them and who's responsible for the data and all of this stuff that has grown out of this type of aircraft, which, for all intents and purposes, they all really start off as reconnaissance aircraft.
Hmm. Yeah, and that privacy issue is another thing that's coming up very frequently in people's minds. And you kind of touched on it, David. And this is something that's kind of have to be resolved. And privacy laws and culture really varies quite a bit from country to country. So what's considered not an invasion of privacy in one location, it can be just exactly the opposite in a different country. And so there's no real harmonization of that aspect to it. But people are nervous. Some people are nervous that these things open up the possibility of, you know, being snooped at by these UAVs, and that has some people nervous. So that's another issue that I think that will be discussing in the future. And there's a lot of different views on that, and I'm sure there's no shortage of opinions, and we'll try to draw those into the show.
Yeah, I think we've probably pretty much hit it on the head that you and I have been wanting to do this for a while now, because it's a very lively, active topic, and it's a portion of aviation that everyone has an opinion about. It's good, bad, or indifferent, but so we're going to look forward to having the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. There's going to be differences of opinion. And as you said at the beginning, some people have some strong political views when it comes to the topic of drones. And again, we don't want to get too deep into those politics. But I mean, it'll be kind of impossible not to touch on it from time to time. But we'll sort of play that by ear, try to keep it friendly and open, but also to consider all the different views on these topics. So very good, David. Do you think that about wraps up this first introductory episode?
Yeah, other than if you have a news story, we have, and I'll let Max defer that, or if you've got some ideas for some guests, we are going to keep this to a much shorter podcast. Our goal is 30 minutes, but that could be news stories, or we could hopefully get a lot of guests on talking about their UAV experiences. So, Max, you want to give out the information, how they can get a hold of us?
Sure. If you'd like to write us, we have an email address, and that is feedback@theuavdigest.com. We're also on Twitter. You can follow us there @UAVDigest. And you can find our website, where you'll find show notes for this and all the episodes. That website is theuavdigest.com.
Well, episode zero is all done on episode one. Thanks, Max, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Dave. Thank you.